With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
Joining us now, pizza historian, lecturer, at the Pizza Museum, mm-hmm. Peter Regas. Peter, good morning.
It's a pleasure. Good morning, Boston.
We were talking on the show yesterday about this controversy over where the first pizzeria ever was and whether or not New York has a claim to it. I will tell you this. There was an unvalidated claim made on this show months ago that the very first pizzeria in the United States was actually here in the north end of Boston. As a historian, do you have a degree in pizza or like what is it? I feel like I should have one based on everything I've eaten,
The amount of pizzas I had in college, I probably should get a minor in pizza. But no, my background was in math and physics, so okay. It was only a hobby in college.
So, can you weigh in on this a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all goes to how you define a pizzeria. So Southern Italians, and specifically Italians from the Campania region, brought their culture and brought their foodways to the United States starting about 1870. So it would be logical for someone to make a pizza on the corner. They could have fried it. And, you know, it goes to your definition of what is a pizzeria. Certainly when Southern Italians took over bakeries and started having ovens and making dough mainly for bread, it's entirely probable they were making pizza on the side too, as a sort of a side product. Now, technically, that's a pizzeria. But what we're really sort of looking at is the bakers and the restaurateurs who are making dough primarily to make pizza. So they had faith and confidence in the product, and they got into the pizza business, not necessarily the bread baking business. So you can always say that if you're a baker of bread, you can make pizza, and that's technically a pizzeria. That's true.
Right.
But we're trying to isolate, really, there's sort of a changing of the industry. And when that changeover happens, when the primary focus on a pizzeria, such that they're advertising for it, those are the guys we're trying to find out. And we think we found an earlier forgotten generation of them, which is really exciting. And we actually, for the first time, have hard data like ads in the newspapers, and we've done the genealogy, and we know that they were owners of it. So before, it was sort of a family folklore, that family stories would be passed down through the generations, and it, unfortunately, but understandably, they got distorted. So now we actually have hard information for the first time.
Huh. And so, and that ends up, that's where this controversy comes from, is that this is a recent discovery by you pizza historians.
Right. I mean, actually, coming to New York, so I'm from Chicago, and I did this research about 9 years ago, and it was pretty much all over in the first 2 years. So I've been holding on to this story for like 7 years, bit of a procrastination. But so coming to New York and disclosing the story, it really hasn't been as big a deal as I thought it would be. I actually did think it would be a lot bigger deal and that there would be controversy about that. But so far, I mean, the pizzerias have sort of, you know, it's a little bit of a shock to them, understandably, and they're going to have to change their understanding of their origin story. But beyond that, I think people have been fascinated about the new information, and they want to know more.
What is the year? What year have you guys placed it at in New York City? Because I want to go back to the North End people and ask them to challenge you guys on it. So what year and what was the name of the place in New York?
Right. So it's a little bit complicated, but the previous story had been in 1905, Gennaro Lombardi started the first licensed pizzeria in the United States.
Yeah.
We can now say that that's almost certainly false because there's no record of him. In fact, there's records of other people at that same address owning a pizzeria.
Okay.
So that pizzeria I'm going to date most likely starting in 1898, the summer of 1898. full stop there. That's that one location that we got new data on that we're sure is a pizzeria before 1905, because we have the 1904 ads for it. And I think it goes back all the way to 1898, the summer, with a man named Filippo Maloney. That's that location. There are other locations in New York City, and at the time they were separated into boroughs, so actually in the Brooklyn too, that were there before. And as you go back in time, as you can probably understand, the data and the rigorousness of like what the actual name of it was and who the owners were is a little bit fuzzy. But we've got one almost sure, well, 100%, we've got one in February of 1898 in Brooklyn, and that I think I've got one in Manhattan in 1895, probably this spring.
Okay, so we would have to...
We can probably much pretty sure say 1895 is the first pizzeria I've been able to identify in New York City.
So for the North End to try to take this from New York, which is my main mission here, it would have to be previous, to 1895.
Yes, yeah. And this is an intriguing question, right? So did the North End actually have it? Because they certainly had the same type of demographics in terms of the population coming from the same sections of Italy. They definitely had bakeries. There's a very interesting article that came out in the Boston Sunday Journal in 1903 that actually talks about the bakeries with pizza in the name of it in the window, and talks about the product in identical terms as we would understand a regular the pizzeria. So there was definitely something going on in Boston at that time period. In fact, I have a little bit of information on that I definitely have a pizzeria, official, no doubt about it, pizzeria in Boston by 1903, September.
Huh.
So,
I think that's those
and
guys.
And probably something before then.
Who are you saying?
Parziali's?
Yeah, Parziali's.
I remember them mentioning that year to me. But they, like in what you said in the beginning, Peter, see, they classify themselves as a bakery.
Yeah.
So that's probably
and the article,
the difference.
Right, and the article I read on them, they had an establishment date of 1907, but mainly as a bakery, and then probably as a bakery that also sold the pizzas too. Okay.
Peter, as the world's foremost expert on pizza, what do you think of bar pizza?
Well, I'm not so comfortable with that title, but thank you. Bar pizza, I love it. That's the pizza that I grew up on in Chicago.
Okay.
So Chicago is known for deep dish, and everyone with the Super Bowl, if the Bears were ever in the Super Bowl, that would be on the block to trade with the other city. So they're identified with it. But really, bar pizza is a much more common type of pizza in Chicago.
Well,
so
I got to tell you, I thought Chicago was the deep dish.
Exactly. So that's when the tourists come into the near north side of Chicago. The obvious the pizzerias to go to are Pizzeria Uno or Lumonati's, and they are associated with that, and some of them are very, very good. But if you go out into the surrounding suburbs and in the neighborhoods where people in Chicago actually live, deep dish isn't actually that popular.
Aha.
Basically bar the pizza.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, we have the South Shore here is where you would find Town Spa or any of those places. Mm-hmm. Cape Cod,
yeah.
Emma's, what's his name?
Ron Emma's.
Ron, yeah.
That's a similar thing here to just a suburb is where you find the legit orgasmic bar pizza, like the really good stuff. Where's the best slice you've ever had, Peter?
Where's the best slice I've ever had?
Yes.
Oh, well, officially in the book, I'm agnostic, but I have to say Prince Street Pizza in New York City is probably my favorite.
Really? I don't love
it. Is that place? Is it the Brooklyn place?
No, this is the one actually on Prince Street. It's, just relatively new. It's sort of like a Sicilian cut of pizza, which is typically gets underrated, I think. If you make a good Sicilian, it's just outstanding. People go gaga for the pepperoni on it, but my actual favorite is just the plain slice because the first sauce is just outstanding. So that's my favorite. Every time I come here, I go there. But it's always crowded, so you know you have to go outside on the sidewalk to eat it. It's one of those deals because it's so tiny.
Where do you stand on pineapple on pizza? on pizza?
Pineapple, yeah. Big time. I've never actually had it, so I'm not really an expert, I guess. I was The story is that a Canadian, a Greek immigrant who settled in Canada started that. I'm not sure that that's true, but
it's true.
That's just one of those things that is, you know, the acidity and the salt go good together, I guess.
Well, it's, you know, Canada is a farming community. You know, there's a couple of big cities, but, you know, basically the whole country is small towns and farms, and everything is about cheapness. So everything was pork, which was bacon, and pineapple, and that's the Hammond pineapple, which is, you know, it's legendary in Canada.
Yeah. Peter, where do you stand on the Rhode Island tomato pie? Some people call that a pizza.
No.
But I don't call it a pizza because there's no cheese
no
on
cheese.
It. It's just sauce.
No cheese.
Yeah, it's still delicious.
Is that the one that they call it strips instead of a slice,
yes.
too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to go there. I've never been. So, once again, I'm not an expert here, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But, it sounds very intriguing. And what's really interesting is that when pizza started to become popular in the 30s with the marriage of sort of pizza and alcohol and beer, and the tavern started to acquire it as a secondary product, and then it became a primary product, you started to get this interesting variation in the ways that they call a pizza. So in some sections of the East Coast, they call it a tomato pie. In some sections of lower the New York State, they call an Italian hot pie or just a hot pie. So really interesting stuff of how you get the variations. But that's an old school type of the pizza where cheese was not the focus of the pizza. It was the tomatoes. But by the time it came to Chicago, Chicagoans love their cheese. So you're going to get a cheese pie at Chicago. But, yeah, that's old school, probably 1930s, the pizzas.
Now, Peter Regas is our guest. Peter, when you lecture at the Pizza Museum, what are the titles of some of your lectures?
Well, the title that I'm going to be focusing on is Filippo Maloney and the Forgotten Pizza Makers of New York City.
Okay.
And this was a guy in New York City who I stumbled upon, and at first I sort of dismissed him because in one of the censuses, it described him as a pastry maker. And I was like, I thought I had him. I thought he was a pizza guy. And then it struck me one day, like a month later, like, wait a minute. They called pizza pie back then, so maybe they told the census operator it was pie, and that's why he called it a pastry maker. And sure enough, it turns out to be true. He started three of the iconic the pizzeria in New York City. I judge him to start very likely six pizzerias in his 30-year career. He probably was a worker in a famous pizzeria in Naples before he came to the United States. And he was an elderly man, so he was born about 1862. So by the time he came here, he was 30 years old. He'd already been a worker in Naples. And just a very, very different sort of character than we're used to in the previous stories, where it was a young guy who just thought, you know, to make a pizza or something like that. This guy came with some maturity and confidence in the industry. Unfortunately, I found his grave, and it's an unmarked grave, and he had no kids. So no one was there to really record his story until it sort of came out of the archives.
Buried in a pizza box?
Oh.
You know, we were thinking of putting a slice there and actually donating a stone for him. But, I don't think he had a pizza box.
Now, when you made your discovery, did you scream Eureka?
Oh. It was something like that. I was in the library, and I had to cover my mouth, but I knew immediately I found something major.
All right. Well, this has been very interesting. We are, as the rest of the country is, we are obsessed with pizza, so it is delightful to know that that this is in. I'm going to try to make the case for the North End.
Okay.
And
watch my blog. I'm going to have something on Boston pretty soon, and I've got some breaking the news on that. So I think you'll be interested in Boston. You're not going to be disappointed. I think they're going to hold up just fine.
How do we find your blog?
It's at Pizza History Book, one word, pizzahistorybook.com.
All right, Peter, thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Pete. Thank
you. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.